pastor still out there trying to catch up with everybody. And he has a hard time being in two places, three places at one time. But you know him. He likes to meet everybody, greet everybody. So we may have to start without him. But he might be, we can crank this thing up. Good song, Love Lifted Me. Would you like to stand? There you go, everybody in here.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more.
Can you turn it up just a little bit?
Welcome you this morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. Good number looks like. Pretty good number inside. Good number outside. I'm just transitioning. I'm trying to catch my breath. I was outside for about 25 minutes in that heat, and then I heard the song, and I thought, well, I better get inside. So I came in here right quick, so I've just got to catch my breath and cool off for a moment. Well, good to have you here, and good to have the folks outside. Hope y'all are doing well, and have some in the back. We're glad to have you with us, and if you're our guest, we especially welcome you. I look around, and everybody's familiar faces, and everybody's home folks, and just good to have you today. Good to have you back. If you've been away, we're happy to have you back. Good to see you, and we welcome you. Congratulations, Jennifer. Jennifer passed one of her big tests this week, and so very, very happy about that. She didn't realize she could still learn something, but yeah, you can. It's amazing, isn't it? And so it's always a good. Dave Ann, good to see you guys. Lord bless you. Good to have you all with us. Good to have each of you. Hope you've had a good week, and the Lord's blessed you. Look at the opportunities to serve, things that are happening, things that are going on. We're little by little. You watch the news as much as I do, and I'm sure you're like myself. But you watch more than you want to, and a lot of times you just go around it and maybe watch something else. But I watch enough to stay informed. What's going on, and you kind of know what's still going on in our society and around us with the pandemic and things that are happening and going on. Numbers have not started to come down enough that, of course, that we want them to right now. So we're still under about the same restrictions that we've been under. Sadly to say, some of our churches have had to go back to online services and close their in-person services, even here in the state of Florida and other states around us. But we're glad we can still come inside. You all are doing good. You're spread out real good, and folks outside. And we're just going to keep going and keep praying. Just pray that these numbers, numbers represent people. That's what we're thinking, right? That's what we're hoping, that number represents a person that's sick, a person that may be bad off, a family that's been affected. And so we need, when we say numbers, I don't say that sarcastically. Those are individuals we believe those numbers represent. And so we need to pray for those folks and pray for anybody that's affected, all of us. You may have family members. You may have friends, neighbors. I had not a personal pastor friend of mine, but a pastor friend of one of my pastor friends lost his fight and passed away this week in Louisville, Kentucky. And they said that he was diagnosed, you know, he had COVID, he was on a respirator, and he's a little bit younger than me, and he didn't come through and stuff. So we got folks like that to think about and understand as we go through this. So we just do the very best we can and just trust our Lord and Savior. Keep being faithful, keep being faithful, keep being faithful. And it's hard for me to know who's outside, so just let me know every now and then. I love it when some of our folks outside will send a picture of the bulletin or put it on Facebook or say something, you know, or send us a text and let us know they were here and the message affected them, the service affected them. Just please do that if you would. We want to know you're here, and we want to be able to minister to you and know that you're not, something's wrong or something going on in your family. So keep in touch with us. Ladies, Bible study Tuesday at 10. Remember that? We've been having a good time together. And Wednesday night, one of the parables, I think a lot of you know in Scripture, about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man and Lazarus. If you can, come out to that. We've been running right at 20. We started out with 25, and that number has went, it got down to about 18, and I think this week we had 20, and we've been staying right around that 20 mark on Wednesday night. We're spread out good and things. You don't have a lot of places to go, so come to our Wednesday night study. You'll be fine. You spread out and wear your mask if you want to, or whatever you feel deemable. Just do that. Friday, we are going to begin back without breakfast, but Friday at 8 o'clock, we're going to have a men's prayer time and a short study on Friday morning, starting back on Friday morning. So men, if you would, try to get back to that. We will not keep you that whole hour, I'll just about promise you that. We're looking at about 40 minutes, 45 minutes or something. If you can come and that still gives you time to get to work, or you're retired or your schedule's different, then if you can come, and we'll spend that time together in prayer, take a quick look at God's Word, and just have that time to get your day going. I hear people that are in that are health conscious that talk about walking and talking about running and talking about exercising. And I've had several say, you need to go walk first thing in the morning. You need to do that the very first thing. The first thing you do is you get up and you go and you exercise, or you walk, or you do what you're going to do, and that will set the pace for your day. That will make your day, you know, better, that you've achieved something, that you've done that. Well, let me say the same about studying the Bible, praying, do that first thing in the morning. A lot of people say, oh, I like to do it. There's no bad time, but first thing in the morning is a good time to do that before you do anything else. But thankful for all those backpacks that went out to our community and to our school kids. We gave out, I have two more back there. Dave, you'll remember to pick up. I got your two grandchildren. We've got two more back there. We'll put us at 105 backpacks that have been filled, and will be now delivered. And we had, again, 20 real faithful workers who came out last Sunday night and helped us with that. We had a good, so it's been a good response this week, and we thank the Lord for that. We have some exciting things coming up, and we just keep planning and keep dreaming and keep visualizing what God wants to do for us, and we're going to have somewhat of a little mission revival coming up September 13th. Our good friend and one of our missionaries, Muhammad, is going to be in the area, and he's going to speak that morning to us. I told him I try to let these people out by 11 o'clock, so we'll try to put a rein on him a little bit, but he's got some exciting things to tell us about what is going on in Suriname, how they have came through so far this COVID, and you need to hear it. You need to hear what's happening in other parts of the world. Not, we focus on the United States, other parts of the world. And he will be here on Sunday morning, September 13th, for just a special mission emphasis and a special day. We are looking into, not next Sunday, but the next Sunday, of having a baptismal service. And so I've talked to some of you, and some of you have talked to me about following through with this. Some of it's made decisions, some that you made decisions long ago but didn't follow through with baptism. And we want you to let us know. We want to get you ready for that and be prepared on that Sunday for a great day together also. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for every opportunity that you send our way, for waking us up of a morning and letting us know, Father, that we're very much alive, and we're still, Father, a part of your work and your purpose and your will in this world. And Lord, I pray that you'll use us every day. Every day is a good day. This is a good day to be alive, and such a time as this, Lord, we have to praise you and thank you that we can be alive and we can be of use and we can be of service. And Lord, you need us as Christians in times like these, probably greater than any other time and on the face of the planet. That Father, this is a time for us to witness and be powerful and to stand up and be heard, and Father, to just uplift and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Let every lip, every tongue, every nation, Lord, you tell us, every nation that would praise, give praises unto the Lord. And Father, we want to do that today. We want to do that every day in our lives. Thank you for the opportunities like today. Thank you, Father, that we have a church. We have a place that we can come, and Lord, that we can fellowship and we can worship together. And Lord, we come today to do just that. We come to lift up Jesus. We come to praise him, to give you honor and glory. And Lord, just to let you know how much we love you. Today, we're going to go to the cross. We're going to go to that place that's so important in our lives and represents who we are in Christianity. That cross is that symbol for us. And Lord, we go to an empty cross because, Father, you're not on that cross anymore. Lord, you died and you resurrected, and Father, you live today to give us eternal life, and we're grateful for that today. We pray that eternal life for every person that we meet and come in contact with and we see and, Lord, we have fellowship with. Just help us, Lord, to always praise you and lift up Christ. Thank you for our time together today. Thank you for these that have come and others that would love to be here. I talk with so many throughout the week, Father, that just says, Preacher, I would just give anything if I could be in the service, or if I could come another time and just be there. And just let the folks know at Green Pond, we love them. And let them know that, Lord, we would love to be with them and be in their midst. And Lord, I know the hearts of these people, and I just pray for them as well today. But thank you, Lord, for being, helping us to be here today and to worship you. Thank you for our offering today. Thank you for our giving of our time, our talents. Father, of all that you bestow upon us, Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man, only the Lord can paint a picture like that. Can you see that, Brother Chris? Up there, they got on the screen. You guys outside can't see it. You're already out there in Mother Nature's. But I love that. That made me think. Chris said he had to get that eyesight back because it's getting September before long. And he's going to have to be in them woods. You know, some of us are hunters. And we just that kind of that. Thank you guys for putting that picture up there. You guys outside may have to come inside to look once in a while, see what's happening in here. So anyhow, but we're thankful for Calvary, and that's what we're going to be singing now. Lead me to Calvary.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy torn crown, I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast slain, tenderly mourned and light arrayed, guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be
song and what he paid that great price for us at Calvary. Miss Melanie's going to come and share some special music with us now. Brother Kevin will be on deck next week, so we're looking forward to that. Come on, hon.
Strange how God just works things out. I was going through my songs and saying, Lord, what do you want me to sing this morning? And he just quietly whispered that one whenever I was thumbing through. And it happened to be Settled at the Cross. And I had no idea what the message was going to be about this morning. Start it over again, please. My nice sinuses are just messed up bad. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You love the world so much, you gave your son.
Thank you, Miss Melanie. Thank you for following the Lord's and the Holy Spirit's leading. And that's our subject this morning, is the three crosses at Calvary. Three crosses at Calvary. Last Sunday we looked at the three crowds, and as we began to push through those crowds, we could see, because they were standing up on a hill, and we could see even over top of the crowd, but as we pushed a little farther, we could see standing on top of that hill, upon that mount that's called Golgotha, that place of the skull, that mount that is called, we refer to as Calvary, we could see those three crosses, and they were gleaming in the sunlight as the sun penetrated through them. And as we looked at those three crosses, we find out something from each and every one of those crosses. They stand for something. There's something that is meant there. And next week we will hear from those three there. We will identify today the three crosses, what each cross was. And next week we'll hear what was said. Something was said from all three crosses. All three men that hung on those three crosses had something to say. Something that needed to be written down. Something that we needed to hear. And we'll hear that next Sunday. We'll hear the cries of dying men, three dying men. We will hear their cries. We will hear what they say. Now, we live in a world where heavenly things confuse our earthly minds. And the cross of Christ is one of those. The cross is a heavenly thing. It has a heavenly, great spiritual meaning to us, but it confuses our minds many times. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. It has been chosen now as a symbol of the Christian faith. What is the symbol of the Christian faith? It is the cross. The cross, you'll see it on top of steeples. You'll see it on church buildings. When you see the cross, you almost know, or you should know, and that should be the case, that when you see that cross, whoever's wearing that cross, wherever that cross is, that should be, and remind them, you are wearing a symbol of faith, of Christian faith. Not just any faith, but of Christian faith. What we believe took place on that cross. And it's a good opportunity. I notice a lot of our biker friends, they like to wear, they wear a cross. You ever notice that? And things, you've been to some bike rallies, and you'll see some individuals that look pretty rough and look a little bit different than most of us. And right around their neck, they'll have a cross. You'll see all kinds of individuals that is displaying a cross. That gives you a wonderful opportunity. I stopped a man one time in Walmart because he had this really neat, nice-looking cross around his neck. And I thought, man, that is a neat looking piece of jewelry. That's a cross. I know what that is. And so I began a conversation with the man. I said, I see that you're a Christian. And he kind of looked at me funny, and he thought for a minute. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you got a cross around your neck. I said, you got a symbol of the Christian faith. You got a symbol of what Jesus did for us. It was Jesus who died on that cross. It wasn't any other leader or great spiritual leader. It wasn't, you know, any other Muhammad. It wasn't anyone else who had died on that cross. It was Jesus Christ who had died for a specific reason. And so we got into a good conversation and stuff. Another time we were going into Walmart, and coming out was a biker guy. He was a retired Vietnam vet. He had his cap on. He had everything on signifying who he was. And he had a cross on. That time I didn't engage him. He engaged us. And he said, me and Eddie had just been to a funeral. We had a white shirt on and black pants. And he thought for a moment we were Amish. He thought for a moment maybe we were Jehovah's Witness. I don't know. But he said, you guys are surely dressed up kind of nice today on a hot Florida day. Black pants, a white shirt, dress shirt on a hot Florida day going into Walmart. And he began to witness to us. And that was a great time. Well, folks, be careful with carrying the cross, because you need to know what it means, what that cross really means. Thank God we see it now as an empty cross, because the seeming tragedy for good and apparent victory for evil was overturned by the power and purposes of God unto the triumph of a resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do go beyond the cross, but we must go to the cross. We can't jump beyond the cross until we go to the cross. We don't want to go to the resurrection until we get to the cross. We've got to get to Calvary. We've got to get to the cross before we can get to the resurrection. Before we can get to anything else that God has for us, we've got to stop for a few moments at the cross at Calvary. What does it mean to us? What does the cross mean to you? In the cross, in our experience, more meaningful than a nicely suited piece of wood or an elegant shaped piece of gold hung around somebody's neck, it has a greater meaning. The cross of Christ is God's final word as the character and consequences of human sin. And listen to this, and of the wonder and sacrifice of divine love. You're going to see that in the last point. Number three this morning, you will see that. Shorty sang, there was a hymn we put in there on purpose, love lifted me. And that's because that's what happened on the cross. The great love. There's no reason, there's no excuse for the cross except that God's divine love for us was so deep that He was willing to send His only begotten Son to die on a cross to give us forgiveness. This is how much I love you. I love you enough to show you how much I love you. We all know that Jesus was not crucified alone. He was in the middle of two thieves, godless sinners on both sides of this righteous man. There were all kinds of people at the cross. We looked at those last week. And when He was on the cross, I love that song, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. You were on His mind. What distinguished these groups of people? Well, there's two things that distinguish: the condition of their souls and their spiritual heart attitudes. Distinguish these groups of people. It takes all kinds of people to make the world go around. And folks, listen to me, wise and not so wise. And it takes people with a lot of different opinions. Haven't you noticed in our world today that something that everybody's got an opinion, right? You got an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. And some way or another, they're going to share with you. They'll either make you glad, mad, or sad. But they're going to share with you their opinion. And you have the right, in your own opinion, to agree with them, not to agree with them, to go against their opinion, what they believe. But it is their opinion. And this world takes all kinds of people, and they see things in different perspectives. And people look at things, and when they see something beautiful, they see something majestic, they see something wonderful, all of them do not get the same exact opinion or view of what that is. I wish they would. I wish that when people looked at the cross, they had the same opinion that I have. I wish when they looked at the cross that they would maybe have the opinion that you do, that my Jesus died on that cross for the sins of the world. I wish they believed that, but they don't. It's just like three of us got together, and Rick had already been, him and Stephanie had already been to the Grand Canyon, so we didn't invite Rick along. And the three of us got together. Shorty had never seen it, so we thought it'd be good for him to see it. Johnny Ray, the truck driver, me, the preacher, and Shorty, the cowboy. And as we stood at the edge of that massive canyon, each one of us responded in a cry of exclamation. And if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, you will have an exclamation. You will look at it and you will do something. There'll be something that you'll do. Well, Johnny Ray, he said, been trucking all over this great country. This is one of the most breathtaking places that I've ever seen. Oh, my goodness, nothing like this. As a preacher, you know what I said. What an awesome example of God's handiwork. Many of you have been putting these beautiful sunsets on Facebook. What's been the preacher's reply? God's handiwork. Remember? What did I say to you when you put it on there? I said, look at God's handiwork. Beautiful. That's how I replied. Look at God's divine handiwork. Look what God has done. Shorty the cowboy spoke up and he scratched his head and he said, what a terrible place to lose a cow. What a terrible place. Well, we can all look at something and we can all have different opinions or different feelings about that. If I may, I would like to name each of those three crosses with you quickly today. And here's the scripture that I want you to see. Looking in Luke chapter 23 and going down to verse 39, down through verse 43, we hear and we are identified with those three crosses. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, number two, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, don't thou know, don't thou fear God, seeing that you're in the same condemnation? And we indeed, justly, we deserve what we're getting. For we receive the due reward of our deed. But this man, number three, the third cross, but this man has done nothing amiss. So we know there's three of them there, because there was the first one who railed against him. there was the next one who got on to the other guy for railing against him and kind of gave a little testimony. And then they're talking about this other man who had done nothing. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, and we know who the third man is now. We know who the one is hanging in the middle cross. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, truly, truly I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, if you look at these three individuals, it tells you exactly the three crosses of that day. We can name those crosses. Now, these names that I have given them, you can write them down. You can come up with your own name, but this is the names I've got. The first cross is the cross of rejection. Now look at that first malefactor that hung. He had rejected who Jesus was. And I believe Jesus is hanging in the middle. He's in the middle. And it says on each side of him, right? So if it's on each side of him, he's in the middle. Well, I believe that this man of rejection, this thief, malefactor, King James uses, a thief, common thief is what that means, that this thief, that he is on the Lord's left side. He's on his left side. I believe it with all my heart. He's on, well, preacher, what does that matter? He's on the left side, right side. Well, it does to me because Jesus said something later about sheep and goats. Remember him saying, it's always important, folks, to be on the right side of God. Remember that. To be on the Lord's right-hand side. To be on the Lord's right hand side, to his right, to be right with the Lord. I love it sometimes. I'm not getting political, but I love it sometimes when somebody says to me as a conservative that I'm on the right. I'm a person to the right. You better believe I'm a person to the right because I'm not a person to the left. Because in any scenario in the Bible, the person to the left is in trouble. If you're to the left, you're in trouble. If you're left, you're a goat. Preacher didn't say that, did he? Dave, did you come all the way back for that? He didn't say that, did he? Yes, that's what Scripture says. The goats, he throwed on the left. And the malefactor, look at the cross of rejection. The cross of rejection is on the left. This is the thief who rejected Christ, who cursed him, who made fun of him. And if this is the Son of God, if he's really, he's saying if, that means he doesn't believe, right? Anytime you hear anybody say, well, if God can do that, if God can do this, if Jesus is the Son of God, they are a non-believer. That's exactly who they are. You don't ever say, if God can do this, or if Jesus did that. You know he can do this. You know he can do that. We know that. We believe that. So this cross is on the left. This cross held the thief that cried to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, well, get yourself down. And, he was thinking of himself and get us down too. He didn't really believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't believe. His words of rejection were, if thou be, showing his doubt in the one being crucified next to him. See, these three men were in the same shape. These three men were being crucified. They were going to be dead in a little bit. They were all three, I would believe, dying a horrific death. Nothing pleasant about being crucified. One wasn't getting a break over the other. They were being crucified. They were nailed to a cross. Well, no, not one single born-again believer will ever question the deity of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, you're not going to question that, folks. But how many people do you run into out there that question God, that question who he is, that questions that only salvation can be in Jesus Christ and him alone? Do you run into people like that? Sure you do. You work with them. You're right beside them every day. People who really don't believe. They don't believe. It's always if or maybe or God could if he wanted to or whatever. There are multitudes today who belong with this thief. But friends, not me. They would rather reject the Christ rather than accept him and have everlasting life. I believe, you know, I'm thinking this, and you're thinking this. I'm thinking if I was right there on my deathbed, and I'm dying as saint as this guy right here, and this guy in the middle seems kind of innocent to me. It seems strange that this guy in the middle, right over here to my right with this guy right over here, they couldn't find no charges against him. He seems different than me and the other guy over there. Hey, I remember that. Hey, guy, how you doing? I remember, didn't me and you rob that bank together? Oh, we did, didn't we? We ran around together as teenagers, didn't we? Well, he had something in common with the other guy, but he had nothing in common with the guy in the middle. But I think if I was laying there dying on my deathbed, and that's the hope we have a lot of times, for our loved ones and people, we think, well, maybe when they get to their deathbed, or maybe when God, you know, when they get down, they really get down, maybe, they would accept Christ then. Not all do they? This is an example right here. Not all do and stuff. This was the cross of rejection. And I have far too many times heard men and women say the most disheartening words I think ever spoken. No to God's gift of salvation. How many times have you witnessed to somebody and they said no? Shorty, how many times have you presented the gospel and they just turned you off? They just, in other words, told you to go on and mind your business or go back to whatever you're doing. How many times, Buck, have you done that and people just, I don't want to hear nothing about your fishing analogy. I don't want to hear nothing about it. How many times, Brother Paul, have you done that? I know you have many times. You've witnessed to people and they, how many times, Kevin, In your Christian profession that they've sat across the table, you've witnessed to them, and you've witnessed to them, and they tell you, I don't want to have no part of it. Nothing. That's rejection. That's rejection. And you know, sometimes I'll move on, but it's hard for me as a preacher. It's hard for you as a Christian. It's difficult for me over the years that I treat people good, I'm kind to people, I'm loving to people, I reach out to people, I'm a people person, and I want to do everything to help them, and I introduce them to my Jesus, and then I introduce them to my church at Green Pond, what a great church, and I introduce them to my Jesus and His great love for them, and they turn me down, just like that, they turn me down. And sometimes I get upset. And sometimes I have a pity party. You ever had a pity party? You ever go home and just, Lord, I failed. I failed today. I failed today. Lord, I failed. And I've done that many times. Lord, I failed today. I failed. I'm not worthy. And I have a pity party. And I'm thinking they've rejected me. But folks, here's the bottom line. They didn't reject you. They rejected Jesus. They rejected Jesus. They didn't reject you. You hold your head up and you keep right on going and you go to the next one. And you go to the next one. Because they didn't reject you. This guy rejected. The next cross is the cross of reception. This is the thief who said, this is the guy, he's on the right hand side. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This is the cross which held the one to whom Jesus replied, well, maybe. Next week, next month, or like some religions believe, when we get you out of purgatory, whenever that time comes, what we're going to do is we're going to let you come to be with me in paradise. Do you see that anywhere there? Is that there? No. You know what he says? Somebody read it today. What did he mean today? Today. Oh, fella, you're going to be dead here in a few minutes. It might have been another few hours, but in a little bit, you're going to be dead. And today, you are going to be with me in paradise. Now, a lot of people like to refer to Florida as a paradise or a tropical paradise. Let me tell you, he's not talking about Florida. He's not saying, when I die, I know I'm going to Florida. What's that old country song? When I had you, Tucker sung it. What was it? Rose, you know it. When I die, you know, I'm going to go to Texas or something, or, you know, I hope I go, that I won't go to heaven. I don't know if they let cowboys in, but I know I'll have to go to Texas, James. That's where they let cowboys in. Well, you're not going to go to Texas. and you ain't going to Florida. You're going to heaven. You're going to paradise, His paradise. You're going to be with Him and stuff. That's when you receive Him. That's not, the other guy didn't go there, did he? Now we know where the other guy went. He didn't go to heaven. He didn't go to paradise. He went to hell. We know exactly where he went because he rejected Jesus Christ. And that's what happens to every person that rejects Jesus Christ. They don't go to paradise. They don't go to Texas. They go to hell. Well, this one, I trust that many of us today, we belong to this crowd. Are you with this cross? Are you one who sometime in your life you accepted Christ as your Savior? If more people would get totally right before God, there would be many more people who would get right with God. Did you hear that? That's worth writing down, isn't it? If more of us as God people would get right with the Lord, there would be more people who would get right with the Lord. There'd be a lot more. Remember, Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, but what's the problem? The laborers are few. And he began to pray. So Jesus prayed. Therefore, Lord, he said, I pray that you would send forth laborers into the harvest. Forth into this harvest. Do you include this request in your daily prayers, Lord, as one who receives Christ? That I would want you to receive others? That I want others to go to heaven? Do you? I do. I want other people to go to heaven. You do too. And so we have to tell them. We have to witness to them. We have to find a way to get them to see what this man saw. This thief, this sinner. Yes, he's a sinner. Who are we? Sinners. Sinners saved by grace. Who were you before you came to Jesus? You were just like this thief. Oh, preacher, I never stole a thing in my life. You don't have to. I never lied in my life. You just did. I've never done anything that bad in my life. You just did. So we're all sinners. We're all thieves. We're all, this term, malefactors, hanging and waiting for a Savior to come and save us and to take us to heaven. Well, the last cross is the sinner cross. And I call this one, I wish, Kevin, I could have figured out another R. Reception, rejection, but I couldn't find another word that would be as good as the word love. This is the cross of love. The cross of love. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was not the nails that held his hands to the cross. It was love, love, love. True love, you know. Wasn't the nails, it wasn't the soldiers, but it was love. He loved us. He kept us there. It kept him on the cross. They crucified. His love is so great that no amount of suffering could have stopped him from doing what he did for our sin. He was the sinless Son of God who died for all the sinners of the world. He died for you. He died for me. He became sin for us, the Bible says, who knew no sin. The perfect, precious Son of God became sin for us. Have you ever been somebody filled with so much love that you actually did something about it? I'm going to close with something that I wrote several years ago. I retended a few days ago to make it into a poem, or what I consider a poem. It may be the worst poem you ever heard in your life. You may think to yourself, the preacher is indeed not a poet. But I want you to hear the meaning of this story. There's a story in here that I want to leave you with. And this story is very near and dear to me. My son Aaron knows the person in this story that I'm going to tell you about. He remembers this big man. He remembers how much he loved this big man and how much this big man loved him. It wasn't either of his grandfathers by blood. It was a big old man who stood about 6'6" and weighed 265 pounds. Sounds like the story that somebody else told one day of Big John, but it's not Big John. It's a story about Big Birch. And Big Birch was my uncle. He was my mother's brother. He was a big man, 6'6", who stood on the ground, weighing 265 pounds. He had broad shoulders and was very strong, and an overgrown boy of many wrongs. He was born in 1916 and told of his sixth grade class, to which he was held back 2 years past. A teacher came to that one-room school, a young man who had just graduated from college and was so very cool. Upon starting his first day, he said, "To have a good school, there's rules to follow and to be read. I want you to help me to set up these rules." And with that, the teacher asked for suggestions and clues. One student shouted, "No stealing or cussing." Then another, "No lying or fussing." After a few minutes, there were 10 rules written in red. And we, as the students, kept these in our head. "Now then," said the teacher, "for a rule to have meaning, there must be a cost. For those who break them will surely be at a loss." At that, one of the students shouted, 10 licks across the back," he said, "without a coat." And now the penalty had been wrote. "That is a hard punishment. Are you sure that is what you want?" the teacher had asked. "Yes, yes," the class answered, and on with the task. It was only a week when Big Birch missed his lunch. Someone had stolen, and he was ready to punch. So a search was on to find the thief. A few minutes, a little boy, child named Timmy, confessed in relief. He confessed to the teacher his criminal ways, that he had not eaten in 3 days. Timmy's mother was a widow and was doing her best. To provide for 4 children was too much of a test. The teacher, knowing there's a penalty and that the rules had been passed, called Timothy for a licking to the front of the class. "You must take off your coat, Timmy," the teacher said. "Please don't make me take off my coat," Timmy cried with dread. "Lick me all that you want, but please don't make me take off my coat." You help make the rules and their punishment too. And now you, like any other, know what you must do. Removing his coat, Timmy, shaking like a leaf, and to the surprise of the class, had only a ragged T-shirt underneath. The teacher looked in sympathy at the child so dearly and said to himself, "How can I punish this child so severely?" Just then Big Birch spoke up and said, "Teacher, can someone take the place of another instead?" "Yes," replied the teacher, "there's a biblical law written that one can be a substitute and take the licking." And with that, Big Birch came and took off his coat. "I'll take his licking, teacher," and that's all she wrote. At that, the teacher was bringing down the rod for the 4th time in fear, heard the rod break, and noticed that the class was in tears. As they looked, they saw for this very first time that little Timmy had his arms around Big Birch's neck. He said, "Big Birch, thank you for taking my penalty. And I'll always remember this. I'll always remember this throughout all eternity. I'll never forget what you've done for me." That's a true story. My uncle told me that story probably 50 years ago as a boy. He told me that story of that one-room schoolhouse. He told me about the teacher who came to town. He told me about the little boy Timmy had stolen his lunch. Aaron knows Big Birch. Big Birch is a big man. He would be able to whip any man in this building and just he wouldn't even have to take a second breath to do that. He was that big, that strong. Some would think, well, he would be a bully of the class. And I guess he had done many of his own wrongs. But that day when that little boy confessed that he had stolen his lunch and was taking that whipping, he just couldn't stand it. And so he volunteered to take the whipping for him. That little boy never forgot that. That little boy didn't live too many more years. He died. Mother, dad, very, very, very poor. Very poor during the 1920s and 25, 26 into 1930. Depression going on in our country. To find somebody who would sacrifice. How many times have we said that we'd let our love for somebody else that we would sacrifice? We would do without a meal so somebody else could have a meal. We would do without comfort so somebody else could be comforted. How many times do we do that in our lives? Let me tell you, Jesus did that on the cross for us. Jesus sacrificed. The perfect, sinless Son of God left heaven, came down, was treated horribly, and was crucified. Anybody ever watched the movie The Passion? Most of you have. Mel Gibson, unlikely character, produced that movie. Mel Gibson produced that movie. And somebody asked Mel Gibson one day, well, why would you produce such a movie? Hollywood with all this stuff going on. Why would you produce such a movie? He said, because I've never seen anybody sacrifice like that. That would give a sacrifice that would be beaten and tortured and cursed and rejected. Oh, it hurts when people reject you. It hurts when people don't like you. It hurts when people make fun of you. It hurts when people mistreat you. But let me tell you, nobody has ever suffered like Jesus has. And nobody loves you like Jesus does. So whatever we go through, whatever happens, we need to either accept Him. And if we don't accept Him, we've rejected Him. So which one are you today? We're going to have, after I pray, we're going to have a song. Aaron's going to play a song, Alan Jackson's song that he did. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I'd like for you just a few moments to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes and see that cross. I know He's not on the cross today. I know He's resurrected. I know we serve a risen Savior. I know that. But I want you to turn your eyes on the cross and see Jesus hanging on that cross and realize what He did for you and see yourself hanging beside Him and ask yourself, Lord, which side am I on? Am I to His right or am I to His left? Am I going to walk away from here today receiving or denying Jesus as my Savior? And you'll do one of those. You've already maybe done it. But you can receive Him today. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the man hanging in the center. Thank You for the one called Jesus, Your Son, our Savior, who died for our sins. Lord, as we turn our eyes upon Him today, may we ask ourselves in our own heart, our own soul, what have I done with Jesus? What am I doing with Jesus as a Christian? Would I even dare to put a cross around my neck and wear that cross? Because, Father, I need to really know what it means. And I need to live it every day and give a testimony to every person I meet. Maybe, Father, we all need to go out and get in our jewelry box and dig out our cross today or go buy us one and hang it around our neck. But, Father, if we do, make sure we have a testimony behind it to tell people what it means. And Father, I just thank You for Jesus and thank You for the cross and thank You for saving a wretch like me and bringing light and love and happiness and joy and heaven into my life. And I pray that for every person today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand up with me if you would. Get you a little closer to heaven. Sing with us. May the Lord bless you and keep you till we meet again. Bless you.
Brought that cable back, and I'll tell you.